Well, good evening, saints. Isn't it great to know we got a God that we can exalt and lift up, and He listens. He listens to every one of our praises.
Amen.
We'll welcome our special guest tonight. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Okay, you're relieved. Many of you from last year remember Claudia and Alex and their triplets. Those of you that don't remember or weren't here, Claudia and I met when she was, 19, 20 years old and in Brazil. And she was one of our main interpreters for many years. And we call her our Brazilian daughter, and we've kept in communication with them for many years after that. And then she moved to Canada and married Alex. He's not such a bad guy, guys. He's a good guy, and he makes the best cheese bread you ever eat. Talk to him. They're English. Well, Claudia taught English. Alex is good English. And these three right here, English, Portuguese, French, and what else do y'all speak? Any redneck? No? They live in Toronto, Canada now. They go back and forth to Brazil.
The redneck comes out
here
living here for a few years.
That's it. We had an interpreter down there, Marcella. Her and Marcella was our main interpreters. They went with us everywhere in Brazil. And Marcella, in the early years, come to me and said, "Would you teach me redneck?" I mean, his English was good. And believe it or not, he was halfway there because he was taught English by a Texas missionary from Texas. And this church supported Marcella for a number of years, and he is now pastor in Waco, Texas. And I've been trying to get him to come down here. He keeps saying he's going to, but he's going back to Brazil constantly building churches and pastoring a large church in Waco. And his time to get away is kind of rough. But we had a wonderful experience. One of the major churches that we took to Brazil with us many times was First Baptist of Inglis, just up the road about an hour. And we took them up there this morning and met up with some of the people that knew her from all the trips that we had went to Inglis, and had a wonderful time. I got to preach a Sunday morning service up there this morning, and good to get back with the pastor and his son, and we just had a wonderful time and run home and got a couple snores in before church tonight. We're back tonight, so welcome them. This is the only time they're going to get to be with us because they got a conference in Orlando at the end of the week to go to, and then they're going to fly back to Toronto. So, but anyway, tonight I want to start a new series. It's called Knowing God's Secrets. And now we're not talking about, by any means, things that God wants to keep away from you and it's a big hush-hush secret. No, it's just the opposite. But we call these things secrets, is that like this morning we preached on the Lordship of Christ, and Bobby Thompson there, the pastor, come to me and just enjoy. He says, "I cannot remember the last time I heard a message on the Lordship of Christ." And this is one of the problems in Christendom today. And it's really sad because so many pastors over and over and over, they preach salvation, salvation, salvation. And I'm not trying to belittle it, or I'm not saying that that's not important. It is important, but we do need to take the believers that's committed their life to Jesus Christ and bring them up. Introduce them, because we read a scripture from Acts and from Luke this morning when the scriptures proclaim that Christ is Savior and Lord. And we need to go beyond the point of Jesus just being our Savior. But it's unfortunate and it's sad that so many men and women, they stay that Jesus is nothing more than their Savior, and they stay that way all their life. And it's a sad situation because many true believers, they think that the victorious Christian life is some kind of super deluxe version of Christianity when it should be normality. The Lordship relationship that you and I have with Jesus is just part of the normal Christian life. Didn't the Apostle Paul rebuke the Corinthians and the Hebrews? Because they wouldn't grow up. And I've said here several times that one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem in the church today, is men and women that are born again believers. They've been saved, but they refuse to grow up. Just refuse to grow up. They've been believers for 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Where's the fruit? And I've had them tell me, well, I just don't like to come to church. I don't want to come to Bible study. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, where's the fruit? What did Jesus say about the fig tree that didn't bear fruit? Cut it off. Get rid of it. I'm a gardener, and Haber is too, and he's probably done the same thing I have done. You get a tree that refuses to bear fruit, get rid of it and plant one that does. And many believers, unfortunately, they're so busy trying to endure their failures that they have no time to enjoy their faith. It's sad. It's really sad. They've never learned and don't know how to be what they've become. And they've never learned or discovered the secret of a changed life as an exchanged life. They accept Jesus, but they keep on living their same old life, and it never changes. And the reason for that is they've never taken their old wretched fleshly life and said, Lord, I'm sick and tired of it. I want to exchange it for your life. Here's my old life. Here's my old flesh. Crucify it. Put it away. Get rid of it. Put it to death. And give me your life. And the Bible has promised us, Jesus has promised us, if you take His life, He will live it through you. The burden is not on you. The only burden that's on you is you got to say yes and thank you for it, Lord. It's a free gift. That's all you got to do is just take it. If I had a stack of $100 bills and started down here handing them out, what do you got to do to get it? Oh, I'll have plenty for everybody. But you have an obligation, don't you? What is that obligation? Accept it. Just reach out and take it. Be nice if you said thank you. But look at all the precious gift that God Almighty has given us. All you got to do is accept it and say thank you. And we're going to learn a lot about this in the coming weeks ahead. And as I told you last week, the most precious gift, folks. Now listen, I'm human as you and I are. And don't tell me you never thought about this, but what if some billionaire just handed you $1 million in a box? Says, here it is. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, darling? Yeah. My opinion is that's a nice gift. You know? Some of the others are saying, yeah, that'd be a nice gift. Now, Alex is loaded, so he don't want it. But that would be a real great gift. But you know, God wants to give you a gift greater than that. Not just 1 million, not just 2, not just 10 or 20 or 50, not just 100 million. Or 1 billion, He wants to give you Himself. Tell me, I dare you to tell me one greater gift in all the universe. Any takers on that? There's not any greater gift in all the universe than your God and my God that lives and dwells in you wants to give you. And why in the world is we as believers don't take it? I don't understand. It's as simple as that is. God says, here it is. I want to give it to you. And we're going to read about that in just a minute, about the things of God. He wants to give you and I. And all we got to do is take it. It's there. Because when you become a child of God, you become a child of the King. The King that has everything. Well, tonight I don't know if... Well, I'm going to give you the introduction. That wasn't it. That was no charge. I don't know if we're going to get through the introduction tonight. And that's all right. We'll go on later on. You know, just this past week, and all of you, this has happened to you. You go out to your car and you turn the key and it goes, that never happened. Worse yet, you're up at Walmart in Spring Hill and you go out and, don't work. Yeah, you've been there, haven't you, Curtis? Something in your house breaks, like a hurricane comes along and a tree falls through your roof. It'd be nice if you knew how to fix it. Your mamas and daddies, I remember, and some of it's been recently with grandchildren, and your children is crying, they're hurting, and you don't know how to fix it. It amazes me, women, that the instinct that God Almighty has put in you, that most of you know how to fix it. And when we had our girls, and even recently as our grandchildren, when they would be crying and hurting, it just hurts me all over because I've got no idea how to fix it. And I remember calling Mama. And Mama's new. And it would be so nice to just have a little know-how. Know how to fix your car. Knowing how to fix a heartache, a pain in your body, or know how to build something or fix it. Just a little know-how. But in that same way, when failure and weakness comes, and experiences in our life, when tragedy strikes and the circumstances and it begins to threaten this world of me and mine, just to know a little bit about what to do would be so helpful. It's reassuring to have an answer. But do we actually have that in our possession? As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we're not exempt from heartaches. We're not exempt from weaknesses and failures in our life. We're not exempt from the circumstances that strike us in our life and threatens our lives. But yet, do we know what to do about it? Do we know how to handle it? And I've seen some believers that are so strong. They know exactly what to do. And then I've seen the opposite, to where some believers just go bananas because some tragedy has struck. They don't know what to do. Let's turn over into the Word of God and begin to search for some answers. And 1 Corinthians, second chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Reading from the Amplified, now we have received, talking about you and I now, you have received not the spirit of this world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God. Now get the picture here. Paul is telling you, you have received a spirit, nothing of this world. Listen, there's nothing in this world that's worth anything. This world is full of lies. There's no truth. What little bit of truth is out there, they mix lies into it. You don't know what to believe. Anymore, I remember as a child, we used to hear that don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. You know, that's changed in my generation. You don't believe anything you hear and you don't believe anything you see. Because with technology, boy, they can lie to you. Technology can. There's nothing in this world. There's no truth. There's no truth, folks. Listen, there's no truth on television. Okay? There's no truth in the news media. There's no truth coming out of Hollywood. And don't believe the internet. All right? Now, there is some stuff on there. If you know the people and you know who's on there, if you turn on YouTube and you see Faith Community Church Sunday morning service, yeah, that's, you're going to be okay. That guy that with the long hair that preaches on Sunday morning, he's not too bad. That you could believe. But if it comes in from the world, don't believe it. Don't believe it. But God is telling us here, you don't have that spirit. God did not give you the spirit of this world, but He gave you the Holy Spirit, that is Himself, from God. And here's the reason why. That we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God. Now, wow. God has given you the Holy Spirit so you can know and you can understand the things that are freely free. Free. If it's free, it's for me. Freely given to you. One of the reasons God has given you the Holy Spirit. These things. He says these things. Well, what are these things? Well, this is what we're going to discover here in Sunday nights to come, if the Lord don't come back. And there's many things. These things, they're keys. We also call them secrets. These things that God wants you to know. He's freely given them to you. Now He wants you to know them. And He's given you the Holy Spirit to give you that understanding. Okay? So to put it simply, this verse says that we have received in order that we might know. We have received in order that we might know. The tragedy is that many have received, but they don't know. And here's where the tragedy lies. To know these things and the knowledge was promised to us by Jesus. In the Gospel of John, over in the 8th chapter, Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, verse 31 and 32. Now here's again is Jesus' words. Now you remember last week we talked a little bit about this, Jesus' words. Sometimes he gives us things that are so simple. So simple. Like this morning I read people that this morning Jesus said, you know, you call me Lord, but you don't listen to me. You call me Lord, but you just don't pay any attention to me. You don't listen to me. How many times did I get whacked upside of the back of the head by my father? Son, you need to listen. Well, spiritually speaking, don't we need that sometimes? Simple things that Jesus is telling us. And like I said last week, He calls us sheep. Well, no wonder. And sometimes God's got to take this old sheep and knock me upside the head. Bob, listen. And Jesus tells us some simple, and here's another one. Here's another, and this is what Jesus is saying. He says that Jesus was saying to the Jews, now listen, he's saying this to you and I. He was physically talking to the Jews, but God is no respecter of person. He's saying this to you and I. They are no better than we are, and we are no better than they are. Okay? He's saying to the Jews, who had believed in him? You believed in him, right? He says, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word. Now, hopefully, each one of you are taking the word of God, taking it home, you're studying it through the week, not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night, but you constantly have the attitude of learning and studying the word, and that's abiding in the word of God. The only truth, folks, that's out there. Okay? Fox News does not have all the truth. The only truth is right here in this word. Everything else is a lie. And he says, if you abide in my word, and this is why I like the Amplified, it says in parentheses, continually obeying my teaching. Continually obeying my teaching and living in accordance with them. Here again, this is why I like the Amplified. It just amplifies it. Gives this old sheep a little bit better understanding. That's why I like to preach from the Amplified. Okay, if you abide in my word and you obey my teachings and live it. And live it. Living in accordance with them. You see, God doesn't just want you to know. He wants you to live it. Put what you know into action and live it. He says, you are truly then my disciples. Okay? Then in verse 32, as a result of this, he says, and you will know the truth regarding salvation. Now, this regarding salvation, this means other stuff too. Everything that we're teaching you tonight and will be teaching and have been teaching, it all has to do with your salvation. This, your salvation, folks, is only your first step. Okay? That's only your first step. We're to go beyond salvation. So these things that he says pertains to salvation. He's talking about the things that God has for us now. He says, you will know the truth regarding to salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. Jesus is telling us, if you abide. So the opposite of that is, if you don't abide, you're not truly my disciple, and all these things is going to come down on you, and you're not going to know what to do, you're not going to be free. You're not going to be free from it. When disaster hits and strikes in your life, you're not going to know what to do. You don't have the know-how. Because simply, you haven't obeyed and abided in His Word. Pretty simple. You notice that these verses was given to believers. Now, what Jesus is telling you here, folks, listen, does not have anything to do with your education. Okay? It doesn't matter whether you think you're smart or dumb or dyslexic. I had a person one time some years ago in this church say, well, I just can't understand the Word of God. I'm dyslexic. All that is a cop-out. That's all it is. I don't care if you have a second grade education. When it comes to the Word of God, if you have that desire in your heart, the Word of God says the Holy Spirit is one is going to teach you. He's going to open up your heart. He's going to give you that understanding in your mind. So don't give Bob this excuse, well, I'm uneducated. I've only got a second or third grade education, and I can't understand the Word of God. No, Jesus said, abide in this Word that you will know. Because the Holy Spirit... What did Jesus tell us whenever he was asked? He asked some questions, didn't the Holy Spirit, I think it was Peter, tell Peter? He says, Peter, how do you know these things? My Spirit revealed them to you. How do you know these things tonight, people? How do you know you've been saved? Is it just some myth? One, the Word of God has told you. And you've witnessed what the Word of God has told you because you've abided in it and you know it right here in your heart. You know you're a fulfillment of Scripture. You know it in your heart because that unseen thing called the Holy Spirit has revealed it to your heart. And I dare say that most of you will go to your grave and nobody is ever going to change your mind. Because you know. I had a guy tell me one time, well, you never know if you're ever going to go to heaven or not till you're there. You can't know. Well, you don't know the Word of God. He was a Catholic. Oh, good Catholic, he says. So he goes, whatever they are, I don't know whatever they are. But he was one of them anyway. But he's never been born again because he doesn't have that assurance that no one in it. The Holy Spirit has never revealed it to him. By continuing in Jesus' Word, we can know. Now, here's a very important thing here at this point. This is the application of truth that we've just read is what makes you free. Not the mere acquisition of truth. It's applying it. Jesus said you're going to put it to your life. You're going to make it become reality in your life. And it's going to become real. You're going to live it. It's going to become an action. Not just know it. Not just have a head knowledge of it. Not just the acquisition. But it's the application of that life. Alright, we'll go on for a couple more minutes. 1 Corinthians. Back over to 1 Corinthians in the second chapter, verse 9. But just as it is written in Scripture, and this is taken from Isaiah chapter 64 and 65, it says, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love Him and who hold Him in affection, reverence, who obey Him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that He has bestowed. Now, I've heard this verse of Scripture preached many times that one of these days, people, the eye is not seen and the ear is not heard what God has waiting for you in heaven. Is that true? Yeah. Is this what the Word of God is solely telling us? No. No. This is not a someday will be yours. This is a now. 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 Someday there's going to be a great blessing, but this is not what's taught in these verses of Scripture. Verse 10, he tells us, for God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through His Holy Spirit. Now stop and think. Verse 10 answers verse 9. Has the Holy Spirit revealed to you all that's in heaven waiting for you? No. When it comes down to it, I really don't know what all's waiting for me. I don't care. It's really none of my business. All I know is it's going to be in my Father's house, and what He has prepared for me, I'm ready for it, I'm willing, I'm taking it. What it all is and what it consists of and visions of heaven, no, I have no idea. But I know what the alternative is, and I don't want that. That's it. When I was 12 years old, that's what brought me to Christ. I didn't understand theology. I didn't understand anything but one thing. I didn't want to go to hell. That's all I knew as a 12-year-old. I don't want to go to hell. And the preacher said, well, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. I said, that's for me. I didn't know nothing. Didn't know a thing about the Word of God. I think I knew the 23rd Psalm because I heard that and the Lord's Prayer. But folks, listen, verse 10 tells us that right here, that God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through His Holy Spirit. What? What has He revealed? The things that God has given us, the things that the eyes have not seen and the ears have not heard are for us now. Yes, there's things in heaven waiting for us. I don't know what all that is, but they're waiting for us. But the things now, and he goes on and he tells us, for the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of the Word of God, the divine counsels and things, listen to this, and things far beyond human understanding. I like that. God's Holy Spirit has revealed things to you that the world does not understand because you are a child of God. Because the Holy Spirit has shown you these things, things that God wants you to know now and today, not things that are waiting for you in heaven, but things for right now. And guess what? You don't have to wait for them. You don't have to pray for them. You don't have to beg God for them. You can enjoy them here and now. God's secrets He wants to reveal to you now, because they are freely and already given to you and I. And all you have to do is just say, thank you. That's all. Thank you. Do you remember the day when you were saved and you understand what happened to you? How many of you, did you thank God for it? Did you say, Lord, thank you for saving me? Yeah. I hope so. If you haven't, you better get down on your knees right now and thank Him. All these things now God has for you and I. Beyond salvation. And we're going to look at some of these things. God has freely given them to us. All we got to do is just take them and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's all. So simple. Thank you, Lord. And wow, what an adventure it is to discovering these things. You know, I often wonder what it would be like to be on a beach and just rumble around and finding gold coins and picking them up. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, dream on, little cowboy, dream on. But you know, our Christian life should be like that as we grow in Jesus. As we begin to live for Him, He says, these things I'm going to show you, it's just like going around and picking up nuggets of gold. And these things and the purpose of what we're going to be studying, pursuing the secrets of God, is just take like nuggets of gold. Is going to help you and I in our life. Because as long as our heart's beating and we're alive, we're going to have to live it. And isn't it going to be good to know, have the know-how? To have the know-how. So when things come in your life, and they will, and they have been already, many of you experienced tragedies in your life. We all have to one degree or another. To have the know-how and the what to do. People, it's all right here. It's all right here. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for the know-how that You've given us. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit and for Your Word. Lord, I won't ever stop thanking you for your Holy Spirit. I won't ever stop thanking you for the word that you've given us and the things that you have taught us. Lord, I thank you for the free gifts. I thank you for giving yourself to me, Lord. And I thank you for saving us. May we always give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Christ's name, amen.